Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to another edition of Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hello, filthy animals. It's Ben Vanel here, and right to my right...
I got really worried the other day for a moment. My name's Adam Knox. Because you know how that fucking Gavin McInnes dude has the fucking weird gang called the Proud,
Proud Boys. Oh, yeah.
For a second, I remembered it as being the Kind Boys. I was like, oh, we'll have to change all of our shit. But
fuck that, man. We got here first.
Yeah.
He can change their name to the Kind Boys. I'm still not backing down.
I would absolutely change it. I would back the fuck.
If he made it the Kind and Knowledgeable Boys, then I think we'd have an issue. But if he's only half of us, then I think we could weather that storm.
What if he changed it to the Ethical Journalists or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've outlasted all the other podcasts that are called Filthy Casuals.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
We could outlast a hate group for sure. Just staying power. You brought it up.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly why I made that noise. So I was like, why'd I do that?
Why did I do that?
Yeah. On this one of our biggest episodes we've ever done.
True. It's us, the regular lads.
Yes. Well, we're just being representative of the time. No one can criticize us for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've put Red Dead 2 in context culturally.
Yeah. We definitely have the tools in our belt to make these sorts of calls with the dialogue that we're using.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's just the way it was.
Mm.
And we're going to play that up sometimes for laughs.
huge week for the show and, you know, for pop culture in general.
That's
right. I think it's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, let's get in. There is a little bit of news this week.
Yeah.
The full lineup of games for the PS, what's it called? The PS Classic?
PlayStation Classic, yeah. We saw one of them when we were at PAX last weekend.
Should we talk about PAX very briefly?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who came to our panel that we did there. Mm. That was real fun.
Yeah, I think it went better. Our panel went better than I think all of us expected.
Yeah. Certainly numbers-wise.
More people than we thought,
yeah.
I was definitely expecting to tank it as well. I was going to bring up white nationalism real early.
It was cool. It was weird doing, because we go in and we're like, oh, well, this is a comedy show that we're doing.
Mm.
But then it's all set up in the way that it's a panel.
Yeah.
So there's like no house. All the things that you would do if you were doing a comedy show were absent. So no front of house music as people silently walk in and we're just standing in the back corner of the room.
Yeah.
And then when it came to the panel, we were all just on a table all in a line.
Mm.
So if I wanted to talk to you, Ben, you were sitting two away from me. I had to crane my neck all the way back
totally.
To get any kind of eye contact with you.
Oh, yeah. Like timing in comedy, important when you can't see anyone else's face or mouth.
Yeah.
Let's do this episode with our backs turned to each other.
Yes,
and
love
see
it.
How it turns out.
Absolutely love it. And we're each in a soundproof chamber so we can't hear each other. It went great.
Mm.
Thanks to everyone who came out. And welcome to anyone. I think there were a few people there who came because they'd seen you do stand-up at PAX, Adam.
Mm. Yeah.
But hadn't previously listened to this.
Which is funny because I didn't plug our panel at the end.
Oh, really?
No, I did. Of course
I did. Okay.
One guy who was there because he thought it was Filthy Casuals, the clothing brand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, like, Why did you come? For them to be like, well, so a polymer blend is actually.
Yeah, and in that moment, I was disappointed that we weren't that, just because to see what that is for an hour-long panel.
Yeah.
V-neck or O-neck?
Yeah.
Is that what the regular neck is called? It should be.
Crew neck.
Yeah. It should be called an O-neck if you're going by the letter thing.
Mm-hmm. There was a lady there in the front row who, by her own admission, had not slept for 3 days. That
She'd
was cool.
slept for 6 hours
She'd
over the 3 days.
She'd slept for 6 hours over 3 days.
Yeah. Which is the same as not sleeping,
pretty
basically.
Much. Yeah. We found out that the Hitman representatives were handing out sliced cheese in the line, which no one in the room was able to work out why that was.
The hitman is a mouse this time. No one expects a mouse to come and get him.
Fun day. We went around for a little bit, but we didn't, we didn't get to do much. We spent more time at the pub across the street than we did in the actual convention.
We played Sekiro for moments, and I think all got an impression that that will be good when it comes out, but it's just not the sort of thing that you can spend 7 minutes with and get a full idea of.
Yeah. And I felt that way about a lot of stuff that was on display there, where it was like, well, I mean, you could line up and play Pokemon, but it's like Pokemon is like you spend time in it. You collect all the, you know, what's the point of just doing one bat? You're not going to really get that much out of it.
And then like Smash Brothers, I watched someone else play it for a minute and I was like, okay, I get it. It's
Well, at least that you can play a match of with other people and go like, yeah, this is fun.
The one thing that I kind of wish I'd have gotten to that I didn't remember to was Dreams by Media Molecule. And I just still don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the like booth for it. It was all kind of the TVs were above you and you were like lying down and looking up at them.
Oh, right.
Kind of, not like reclined.
And
that maybe not relevant to the game. It might not be hey, you have to play this on a 45-degree angle above you.
That's pretty cool.
But I still wish I could have got an idea what that was, but probably the same thing where it might not have been that illuminating.
We were turned off by the lines for sure.
The crowds were, I'm bummed that I didn't get a chance to play Spider-Man.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey, being on the floor, it's like, whoa.
I actually did want to try and have a go of Starlink, that game that's just come out, because I'm interested in it. And it's one of those toys to life games that Ubisoft have made, but you can get it digitally without the toys. But if you get it digitally without the toys, it's $120.
That's only an aberration in Australia, though.
Really?
Everywhere else, that version is $60.
Really?
In the US, at least.
God, so
that's insane.
It's inflated price here. It's more than buying the version with the models.
Yeah.
Well, Big W, I think, at the moment has the version with the toys for like $89 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it was fun there, and that we recorded the panel, and I think we're going to put that on our Patreon page.
Yeah.
Maybe for everyone on Patreon, or maybe for – I don't know that I've said that. I think we have, but
– we haven't really talked about it.
No.
I think we could put it out as a thing of this, although we've already – said a lot of the best stuff from it on here.
I think it's for the people, maybe for overseas people who just literally couldn't be there.
For the real ones.
Yeah,
we'll find something to do with it.
Yeah.
So that'll be available in some way.
Shout out to Luke McGregor and Kate Dennett.
Yes.
We got a sweet 20 minutes out of Kate telling a story about the last time she was in that building, she got lost.
She worked there as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we saw that the actual form factor of the PlayStation Classic, very small.
Yeah, tiny.
Tiny little thing.
Mm.
I liked the look of it. I mean, it looks like a PS1, but it's a good, neat little size.
We got to have a good old look at it while we were in the 40-minute line for Sekiro.
Yes.
Yeah. So 20 games are going to be on it, and they've released the list of them. So it's different in the West and in Japan. I don't have the Japanese list in front of me right now, but I'll look that up after.
I think they did that with the NES and SNES classics as well.
It makes sense. There's obviously different things that have appealed to different areas, especially back then. So I'll just list them all, or do we want to talk about each one?
Let's jump in if we feel like it.
Yeah.
Battle Arena Toshinden, Cool Borders 2. I don't know the story from Cool Borders 1.
Oh, boy.
Destruction Derby. Final Fantasy VII.
Interesting.
Grand Theft Auto, the first one.
Yeah.
Which maybe is not a fun game anymore.
I think 2 is still fun. They polished it a little bit, I think.
Intelligent Quoob.
Oh, yeah. This was like Karushi or something originally.
Some kind of puzzle game.
Yeah.
Jumping Flash. Sorry. Jumping Flash! It's got an exclamation mark at the end.
Sweet.
Metal Gear Solid.
Great.
Mr. Driller. Please, Mr. Driller was my father. My name is Craig Driller. Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, Rayman, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Revelations Persona, so Persona 1, which is a pretty – that's like the strangest inclusion to me, where that is not a game that was popular over here at the time, I don't believe.
Yep.
And that PlayStation version of it is weird because there's a lot of differences they made to it. But or the Western version. Ridge Racer Type 4.
Great.
Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. Siphon Filter.
Oh, that's an awesome game. Yeah.
Tekken 3, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, which is that PS1 version of it. I remember everyone at the time being like, it doesn't fit on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal and Wild Arms.
Okay.
So, yeah, with the thing we were saying before it of Crash Bandicoot and Spyro not being on there is obviously true.
Yeah, we were talking when they announced it of, yeah, so what's going to be on there? And it does feel like, yeah, pretty decent exclusions of what people would kind of have in their heads as the iconic kind of PlayStation or PlayStation era games, which is largely, I think, down to licensing and not being able to have certain things on there.
Yeah.
But still a lot of good stuff on there.
I think that is a good lineup. I've seen, a lot of people kind of going, oh, this, they fucked it. I can't believe this is the thing. And I think all of those games are at least emblematic of what the time was, which I think is the point of it more than these are the best games to play today.
But I think, but like I said, I mean, I don't think they've fucked it. I think it's just like there's just certain things that they're just not going to be able to have on there for various different reasons.
Because
them going like, nah, we just won't put it on.
Mm. Right. Mm. And you'd need 104 games to be on there or something for everyone to go,
And
like you said, you're not going to have Tony Hawk on there.
Exactly.
Because the music is, it's those sort of things. We've seen with games that are released 3 years ago, songs get fucking taken out and things because of licensing, the way all that stuff is fucked
up. I mean,
up.
Sure, if none of that stuff was an issue and if the remasters weren't a thing, then, Crash, Spyro, Tony Hawk, you'd probably say, all kind of have to be on there in some form.
Wipeout is a big one that I've seen people disappointed about.
But again, they just did like a big re-release thing a couple of years ago.
Some of the modern Wipeout ones as well, So there is that factor, and a lot of them are Sony ones. But then in Japan, Ark the Lad, Ark the Lad 2, Armored Core, Gradius Gaiden, 11 in Roman numerals, and then in brackets, SAI, Psy.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that over here? Saga Frontier, G Darius, and Parasite Eve. So you can see why those ones maybe didn't make the version.
But that's cool. You got a Metal Gear Solid, you got a Resident Evil,
Ridge Racer Type 4 is a fantastic game.
Gran Turismo was another big one that people were like, why is that not on there?
That is weird.
I think that had licensed music too. I think a lot of the ones that are missing have pretty obvious reasons of like, no, it had the, and all the cars. All the licensing for those cars.
Do
you remember there was, what the fuck's it called? Afterburner. They did a modern version of that on the 360 and the PS3. And it was taken down after a couple of years because their like contract with one of the jet companies ran out. So fucking Smith and Wesson, who makes jets?
Lockheed
and Martin. They were like, if you fucking put our jet in that game, then we'll, after the fourth,
we'll shoot you with some of our missiles that we also make.
Some of them jets are coming for you. And the sharks. They're working together now. So, I think that's a fine lineup. I don't think it was ever going to please
anybody. It's a fine lineup. I don't know, but I want to play Metal Gear Solid again. I want to play Siphon Filter again.
Like, also, guess what? If your favorite game isn't on there, I reckon give it a couple of weeks and you'll be able to put it on there.
You reckon they're going to bring out a second one.
That's why, after 2 weeks.
And you can stack it on top of the other one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get one. Probably not, because I don't have the nostalgic attachment to these games. So I think I'll just find them a little bit difficult to get on with in a modern context.
This is definitely more for me than the NES or the SNES ones.
Right.
Something that I think I would go, I want that on my mantelpiece. Figurative mantelpiece. I don't have a fireplace, but I want to put that above my toilet.
Right.
Nice.
The ultimate compliment.
Yeah, pride of place.
The toilet is the real feature statement of my house.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this in a waterproof fucking crossword book.
You can't write on any of the crosswords. Yeah. They're all fucking siliconed? What do you call it? Fuck, man. I have forgotten 90% of the words I used to know. It is frustrating.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Okay, you got
there. There you go.
Well, I was recently doing some spring cleaning in my apartment.
Oh, God.
And
here comes a rip of yarn.
You guys want to hear about the best way to dust a mantelpiece?
You in a sexy maid's outfit with feather duster out.
But I was kind of getting rid of shit, going through cables and just stuff that's piled up. And under those cables was my SNES Classic Mini, which I honestly have not touched since the second week I owned it.
Yep.
Which is the only thing that makes me skeptical about buying one of these. Because the games are appealing. I loved the PlayStation originally. It was my sort of coming of age console. But I mean, I don't want to get it if I don't use it.
Yeah, I can't see myself playing Cool Borders 2. And even those ones that I would play again, it's again.
Yep.
So they get superseded by just because of the nature of how we all play games at the moment, where we're pretty trying to stay current with things for the most part.
Yeah. Yep. It's weird. It's weird though. I imagine a lot of people would have the same wiring in their brain where the SNES Classic Mini got announced and I went, I guarantee if I get that, I'll play it for an hour the day that it comes in the mail, and then I probably will never touch it again.
Yeah.
I knew for a fact that was going to happen.
Yep.
And I still bought one.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it in any way.
Yeah.
This thing I've hardly used. I'm like, well, money well spent.
They look nice.
They do look nice.
There is an element of just like, it's kind of like buying a figurine of something you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little model car.
Mm. Pretty much. Mm. Yeah.
I pretend to drive it. I zoom it around.
Your mantle.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's exactly the same situation as them.
Yeah.
It looks cool and you'll play those things. Same as like that NES Online Switch thing.
Yeah.
Mm. You'll go, oh, right, Mario 3. Mm-hmm. And then 6 minutes later, you're off the toilet, crosswords are done. And
6 minutes is generous.
6 minutes of nonstop screaming.
So yeah, let's get on to Red Dead Redemption 2, big release of this week. It's made, in its opening weekend, is it 750?
765 or something.
Million dollars.
Many, many millions.
Yeah.
I think
more than all three Avengers, last three Avengers movies combined or something like that.
Wow. Just in the opening weekend.
Yeah.
Take them in. And I think it's slightly less than GTA 5 was.
Oh, right.
I think I saw that somewhere. But it's who gives, around that point, you're like, it did well.
Yeah.
I think it's going to continue doing well. Everyone's talking about it. It's the word at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, GTA for sure has the way more years of brand recognition by the time it came out than this does.
It brought more broadly appealing as well.
And GTA 5 still being in like the top 20 lists of all the download things whenever you go into any store is crazy. Mm. And I wonder if this will have the same staying power. We'll see how the online thing is, I guess. Because this it is a weirdly niche feeling game in the way that it treats your time and what it asks of you.
Mm.
Like I get why it's so broadly appealing because it's had a massive campaign behind it and all that stuff, but like it feels like an open world game that would be made if those like Eastern European open world games like Gothic and shit that nobody ever played.
Yeah.
If they were the progenitor of the open world genre and this was a follow on from them, this feels like that. It's so different to all the open world games of the last few years.
Yeah.
It is. It's
in
like
a lot of ways.
It's like one of those like Rust or something started it all, where it's like you gotta collect wood to build a house. When you build a house, then you don't freeze at night. Like it's that. And then someone's gone, what if we put a story in? It's almost that.
And it's weird because it was so hyped and now everything is so kind of immediately gratifying for the most part that I definitely found that jarring when I started it. I don't know, where do we start?
Start at the start.
Yeah, so the first few hours of it, and I think a lot of people have been having this experience, I was really turned off on it. It was so slow, it takes ages to feel like the controls are gelling, or it did with me, and it just really fucking takes its time to do what it wants and set itself up.
Yeah,
you are trudging through the snow for a while.
Yeah,
you are not moving
quite literally.
Far.
Yeah. I don't know that turned me off to begin with, but my first thought was like, this is like really, really confident stuff.
Yeah,
this is really just self-assured game making where they're just, and I think almost deliberately trying to play against like them feeling like people when they boot up a Rockstar game, they know what they're going to get from those opening few missions of setup. And it kind of really goes against all that. And my big thing with it so far is I kind of wish that we weren't doing this podcast more so than usual. Because I wish I could play this just and play it without thinking about, oh, well, I've got to work out what to say about it.
Sure.
And I guess if there's a quibble there, then I guess that's worth bringing up because that's more interesting to discuss than just going, yeah, it's cool.
Mm.
And I wish that knowing, because it took me a couple of days after it coming out to get around to having the time to play it,
yeah.
knowing from people already, like, oh, it takes some time, that kind of frustrated me because I only had so much time before we did this that I was like, fucking come on, I want to get into the guts of it, so I'm talking about like the right part of it.
Yep. I wish I was 70 hours into this at this point. I'm not. I don't know because it doesn't have an hour counter in it, but I've probably played it for like a
fuck off, Dad.
Yeah, my dad started calling me. Yeah.
Son, you need to grow up and stop caring about video games.
Because, yeah, like you said, it has such a confident start. It's like, you know, when you're talking, like when you have a really hot friend who just talks slower than anyone else.
Yeah,
like,
guys, that must be really hard for you.
If that's you trying to do a hot guy voice.
I'm just talking slowly.
Yeah. It really just does not give a fuck what you think of it towards the start. Like, it spends ages giving you little bits and pieces meted out because its main goal, and I think the most important thing about the game, is that it is trying to make you feel as though it is trying to make you like role play, basically. It is making you a cowboy, baby.
Yep. Someone in our Facebook group described it as bold, which I think is a really, really good description.
Yeah.
It's almost, it reminds me of, and for obvious reasons, The Hateful Eight, that Tarantino movie, which is not a fantastic movie by any means.
What?
But it is. Well,
it's a good movie.
It's good.
I love that movie.
It's not, it's an 8 out of 10 for me.
Okay. I'd give it a 7.
That's great.
Okay, it's great.
Any website, would be their parameter for getting great.
Sorry, everyone. Red Dead 2 will be next week. We're going to review The Hateful Eight for the rest of this.
It's going to take 3 hours. But it's not a perfect movie. It has flaws. But it is extremely strong in its aesthetics. Mm. It starts slowly. Mm. It ramps up about halfway through. Mm. It is a Western. Like, it really reminded me of that to start with. And it also is similar in that you just have to settle into it.
Yeah.
You got to get settled in. The characters are drip fed to you as it comes along and it starts to immerse you in it, which is exactly what Red Dead 2 does.
I think, like you were saying, knowing that you don't necessarily have big chunks of time to devote to it early on, just with the way that our lives have been for the last 50 years, but for the last little bit, it's hard to get into without going like, I'm spending a full day with this first.
Yeah.
So I did spend a full day with it.
Right.
I played it for the entirety of my Saturday. And I kind of had, I guess, the opposite reaction to it that I had with Breath of the Wild, where Breath of the Wild, I was like, fuck, the controls are weird. I don't know what I'm meant to be doing. It's slow. It's almost directionless. And then I got into it as it went on.
Right.
But Red Dead 2, I was immediately into it. I didn't have any of this sort of teething issues. I was like, fuck me up, turned all the lights off, settled in and just played it for like 12 hours. I just loved it from minute one.
That's exactly the opposite way round where Breath of the Wild, I was like, fuck yeah. And then, because they aren't like, they're similar in a lot of ways where it's very easy to make your own fun with it. And like there's just so much to do and it's so well hidden that it is all these systems and mechanics working that it really feels like you're inventing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Obviously not. They've spent fucking 5 years making this game.
Yeah.
Plus, everything is just so well. It's such a good magic trick that it's doing to make you really get into this role of like, I've never, any time there's ever been a mechanic in a game where it's like, feed yourself, you've got to sleep, do all this. I always go like, oh, fuck off. I can see that meter just ticking down.
Yeah.
You are making me do busy work.
Yeah.
And this is so convincing in its portrayal of the world and these characters that even though it is doing that same stuff, I'm at this point totally buying it now.
Yes. Okay. I think
I'm still early enough in where I'm not into that side of
right.
at all.
I'm into it in, I think, the way that you're meant to be, where I'm immersed to the point of like, yeah, maybe I'll run out of dead eye meter at some point because I've been fucking shooting a bunch of guys all day. Yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, I would be tired out by this point. I do need to refill my energy.
Yeah.
And I'm not annoyed by it. I'm just like, oh yeah, of course, that's fair. That's what would happen.
It makes you travel everywhere. Like you at some point have some fast travel options and stuff like that. But for the most part, and you're sort of better off doing it, you are riding your horse from point A to point B every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of stuff along the way, usually.
Mm.
And it takes a lot longer than driving a car in GTA, obviously. Yes. But also it looks a lot better than just being in the streets too. So it's kind of fine.
It's just so convincing and it's so cool at some point. And I was turned off by this at the start as well. I was like, this is boring. I'm being bored by this game.
Right. Oh, really? I didn't mind that. I was going to say before, the thing with the prologue, so the opening section, which we were talking about, which all takes place in the snow. The immersion and all the settling in for that, that wasn't the bit that I particularly liked about it. What I thought was great about that was you get used to those things and you're in this very kind of just white, very kind of dull looking environment, so that then once you get into the guts of it, into the main bit, and you're out of the snow and you're in these like beautiful scenery, it really hits a lot harder because you're sort of used to the world a little bit.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an effective device, whether that was intentional or not, of just like you – once it all opens up, you're like, Jesus Christ, this looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it made that resonate with me a lot more. All the other side of it, a little bit, but I thought that was the coolest trick of it for me.
Yeah, right.
And I think that is a major thing they're doing with this game that is either different or more effectively done than a lot of others, where that dead air between gunfights and between the action sequences does make those pop a lot more.
Yep.
Like, the walking up to a dog and patting it, or like spending an entire day just kind of hunting an elk or whatever, for whatever reason, and I hated it at first,
right,
but once I sort of gave myself over to the idea that like, oh, I'm playing this game for 100 hours and a lot of it's going to be no sort of chartable tick box progress.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm liking it more and more. I think so, the setting, the characters, the music, the writing, the feel of it, I think is all like some of the best I've seen in anything of any medium.
Yeah.
But a lot of the mechanics and all that stuff I'm finding a bit overwhelming, and a lot of the stuff so far from what I've seen, I'm like, I honestly couldn't give two shits if this was in here or not.
Right.
Oh, groom your horse, clean your gun. It's like, so far I'm like, I don't care. I would honestly prefer that to not be in there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And
I love it.
I think the controls, I think, are not very good.
I agree.
I disagree.
Like shit.
So many people have said this, and I just don't get it. I think he moves naturally.
Oh, man.
I've tweaked
move naturally,
it a bit.
But that's the problem. He moves like a person in real life would move.
Yeah.
But when it's fine when you're running around a field, but anytime you have to go into a building and kind of like move around in a smaller space, I find him borderline impossible to get around.
Oh, right.
I've gone from you, Tommy, to you, Ben.
Yeah, from the very start, I was trudging through the snow and I was like just looking around. I was looking at the trees. I was listening to, you know, the ambient sounds. Walking into a shop, I'm looking on the shelves, you know. Yeah. Like, he goes through the camp, something I've seen 50 times now, and I'm like, oh, who's that over there? Like, I'm looking at the flickering of the fire and appreciating that. Like, I think I'm just fully immersed.
I think for whatever reason, it hooked you, or you were ready to be hooked straight away, and it took a while for me to let myself be taken over by it. I don't think it controls well as a video game, and I think it has the perfect controls for what it is.
I think that's fair.
Other than a few small things where like you've got to adjust some of the aim settings. And like mashing on the fucking A button to run is just annoying, and you can't change that to just being like a toggle. You can change some of these things a bit. I don't think it becomes perfect and just like a physically I feel comfortable doing this, but the weight that you're moving with and the sort of the weight that you have to achieve anything, W-A-I-T.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was going to say W-A-T. the weight you got to do is such a decision. It becomes clear it's a choice rather than a hindrance at some point.
Yeah.
Yes.
That I could still see people going like, I'm never going to like that because I don't gel with what this game is. But if you just accept what it is and love it for who it is and don't try and change it, because it's never going to happen, all right?
Yeah.
I was going out. It doesn't matter where.
I was thinking about God of War in comparison to this game, because that game is probably the other best game of this year. It's cinematic. It's visually, you know, stunning. Mm. It's got a great story. The acting's good. I think it's very immediately thrilling though.
Yeah.
And I think that what Red Dead 2 is not is thrilling from moment to moment. But then when it is thrilling, it's thrilling in like you do finish a gunfight and you rescue one of your guys and he fucking rides off and the sun goes down and you're like, oh man, I made it through that, and you just slowly walk through the environment. Mm.
and that is the thrilling moment.
Yeah, you've got to sure.
be. Yes, exactly. The bits where it's slow become the satisfying part of that game, and it took a while for me to get there. But now that I'm there, fuck, I love the camp.
Yeah.
So camp's cool, yeah. Good.
This has the best writing of any Rockstar game by a mile.
Yeah.
Because every bit where there is humor, it's earned from the way that the characters are. And it's clever. It's not a
modern world, so they're not able to comment and have satire about things that are going on right now, which I think is always like the worst part of what they do.
They definitely get into some of that where like, look how fucked up this is now. See any similarities?
Right. Sure,
at
sure.
some point. But it doesn't feel as labored as a lot of the Rockstar stuff does.
Yeah.
And just the characters are well written.
Mm.
I believe each one of them. I care about all those people in the camp.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or like kind of dislike them or whatever. Like I'm treated, they, and there's so much of it.
Yes.
There's so much shit. Every time you go to the camp, there'll be some other interaction between them that you really feel like is just happening outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel all of the time like it's that roller coaster designed for you that, I've heard a lot of people comparing it like regular games to, not a lot of people, I might have seen this once in a tweet, but it was like, you know, a haunted house is all those actors are there to jump out at you.
Yeah. Mm.
But this is like if you were looking through a Perspex haunted house and you could see those, I'm fucking this up, but it doesn't feel like everything.
You really, really are.
Totally lost
I'm saying
me there.
That this game scares the shit out of me.
Well, it is Halloween today.
The sense of immersion for me, at least early on when you first turn up in the camp, was kind of hindered by I'm walking around and I'm really wanting to get into it. But there were just a couple of things, you know, that thing in games where you like a couple of people's kind of vocal stuff will kind of all be triggered at the same time. So that happened once or twice that was like a bit messy that made me really aware, this is kind of a little glitchy thing that's not meant to happen.
Yeah.
Combined with like once you first turn up in the camp, it then all of a sudden throws little notifications up on the screen like, hey, you can shave and your horse is over here. So I was like, well, I don't feel like I'm a part of this world at all.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being bombarded with very, very technical stuff.
The way that it brings every mechanic in for the first time, I think is almost across the board quite poorly done.
Yeah, it's like an actual little text pop-up, little bling, little...
Yeah,
it's really gamey. Yeah.
And you're doing other shit at the time, so it's kind of hard to read and take it in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all comes at you so thick and fast that you forget them quite quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so at some point I'm like, oh, I know I can skin an animal and bring it somewhere and then have that carcass or whatever, but I don't remember exactly where I meant to do it. And you have to kind of relearn everything a few times.
Mm. Yeah.
Or maybe I'm a fucking dumbass.
No, I think that's fair. I think because like part of the opening you go to rescue a certain character, but then you're like that sort of section, that set piece is like beautifully done. You're like climbing up this mountain and there's wolves howling and it starts to snow. And I was just like getting distracted by the atmosphere and it's like, oh shit, do you auto aim or does like what? And I genuinely was not getting the mechanics.
Because it's the same section where it's like, and this is how you get your shit off your horse.
Yeah.
And at some point it's like the buttons all do completely different things in different things.
I keep accidentally shooting people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And if you're picking up your hat versus picking up someone's gun versus picking up like an item, they're all on different buttons for some reason.
Yes.
And there's stuff like that where it just becomes confusing.
It's not second nature like a lot of games are programmed to be in that stage.
Yeah.
And it's hard when you get to a point where you're putting so much stuff into a game that different buttons have to change constantly for what they do depending on where you are, where you have to go, okay, have you put too much stuff into this game now?
Right.
Like with Rockstar at this point, you go, surely the next thing you do, the next open world thing you do, you have to take a step back from this, from the amount of stuff that you can do.
Like, and the Monty Python fat man eating another fucking waffle or whatever it is, a little wafer.
Yes.
And this game is fat as fuck.
It's so fat,
Like you were saying with the guns, to look at someone and talk to them is the same thing to aim. So if you have your gun out and you forget that and you don't put it away with L1, then you've got your gun pointed at them and they go, why are you pointing a gun at me?
Right. Yeah. Which like on an immediate like level is annoying, but then it's like, oh fuck, that guy reacted to me pointing a gun at him, which is so cool.
Right, exactly. The way that everyone interacts when you're doing it right is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. We're getting complaints out of the way.
Sure. And let me say, I am enjoying it. Like I said, I wish I could just play this and not have to think of the the quibbles. Like, if it wasn't for doing this, I probably none of these things probably would have popped into my mind yet, because I would have been like, oh, that game's cool and I can't wait to put more time into it and get deeper into it. This is just from a point of view of, I think, 4 or 5 hours in maybe, and these little things jumping out at me. Because also I think games, maybe more than any other medium, you're a little more – whatever you've played last, you're a little too – you're going to, I don't know, I think you go in with a different set of expectations to what you do to another medium.
Yeah,
is
I
that,
think that's fair.
Is that fair? Like,
yeah.
I think you...
You know, if you watched movies a different physical way every time, the last movie you watched, it's like, well, I had to put the glasses on my knees, but the next one, you know, I'm hanging from a rope.
I think that is it, where it's like movies, you know, you're going to see with, you know, in different company, at a different cinema, like whatever it is, whereas, you know, a video game, it's like, well, you just, you know, you were playing Spider-Man and then you're on the same console, on the same TV, and you've booted the same controller and everything.
Yeah.
So who cares? That's boring stuff.
No, but I think it's applicable, because especially for this game, because, man, there is a lot of different button combinations and context, you know, changes everything.
In terms of me initially going in and kind of like what I sort of like thought I wanted, I kind of wasn't really getting to begin with based on a lot of what I've heard and kind of know about the first Red Dead Redemption. So it's kind of at a certain point you have to, you know, recalibrate your what you're expecting it to do, because and realize, well, no, this isn't its fault. Like, it's not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's just I came into this going like, I just want to fucking ride around and do this like right now.
Sure.
And this is like, you get to an awesome theme park, there's 100 great rides, but they're like, you're going to be here for a year. You can't go on this every day.
Yeah.
And every Tuesday and Thursday, you don't get to go on any rides.
Yeah. But it's going to be fun to hang out.
Yeah.
You might be thinking about that ride, but just chill out.
Yeah. If you just go to the food court here, just eat yourself a Mickey burger. It's made from real mouse. Don't worry about it. Here's a piece of cheese. Play Hitman 2. Then, like, it just is. If you go into any expectations, especially from GTA 5, which is at such a different speed.
Exactly,
then you will find it, like, it's overwhelming and it's a little dull towards the start if you are having that expectation of it. It doesn't deliver on, you know, fucking constant action.
Yep.
You'll do the train robberies, you'll do all the crazy fucking, you know, Wild West shit that you want to do. You'll get into standoffs, you'll get into gunfights and all that stuff, but not for a bit.
Yep.
And I think for a lot of us too, where the last thing that we're coming from having played is Spider-Man for the great majority of people playing this game, which is, you know, in every sense, like, very gratifying, like swinging around, constant action. So I think that's kind of a bit at play too.
Sure. Well, I've come actually from Assassin's Creed Odyssey,
right,
which is like similar superficially, but now it just looks like a dumb toy.
Well, because everything is there as a checklist and it's there to please you, and it's a little repetitive. And this game isn't really repetitive in a weird way. You're not doing that different stuff all the time, but it always feels like you're spending a new day as fucking Arthur Morgan.
Yeah, I mean, that's the impression. The success of how much they put into it is that it genuinely is immersive in a like real life sort of sense.
Right, but your situation in the real world has to line up with what it wants from you.
Yeah,
I think to be able to do it, it's almost like a MMO, but it's not. I've changed my mind on that. But people are like, this MMO is great because towards the end you can do this. It's like, I don't have 400 hours.
Sure.
So I don't like this game.
Yeah.
And this is that on a smaller scale almost, because you will get way more out of this if you play it for 6 hours straight than if you play it for one.
Yes.
Yeah, and we talked about this on the show a bit, my friend being like, yeah, I'm just not at a point in my life. I love the first one, but I'm not at a point in my life where I can dedicate 60 hours minimum to the story.
Mm. Yeah.
You said over the weekend, Knox, when we were talking about it, that you at that time you were finding it more impressive than fun.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of a good way of summing up the early parts of it. And that's something I felt a lot, where I'm like, bits of this are awesome.
Yeah.
But in terms of it being a video game that I've put on for enjoyment and to have fun, like, I feel like I'm getting there now. I feel like I was just starting to get there in the segment that I was playing. And it's like right around the corner from really clicking with me.
Yeah.
And it's still only really I've played it for like 2 days. For me, yeah. like really being into something takes a couple of days where it's like I'm thinking about it during the day and then I'm putting it on at night after I've done what I have to do for the day. You know, like it becoming a part of my routine of the day is something that I begin to really enjoy about a game. Just the comfort of like kind of knowing it's there and like, oh, I'm going to pick up and do a couple more quests in there or whatever it is.
And this can fall into that once you're just at a certain point of being comfortable with it, because I think I'm still not necessarily finding it fun. I don't think that's the right word for it, but I'm finding it like really deeply satisfying.
Right.
You know, it's not a big explosive bang, bang, bang. Here's this. I'm doing this. Whoa. Slippery slide.
Yeah.
It is this. I am constructing this palace. And at the end, I'm going to have a palace there and I'm going to go, what? Look at that fucking palace.
Well, you mentioned palaces, and I was just thinking it's similar to Persona 5 in a lot of ways where it's like, man, the bulk of it is like structuring your day.
Yeah.
Ticking off like things that you know your character needs to do and you want to do and are satisfying to get done. And then at some points it goes crazy and there's set pieces and it's very cinematic and over the top.
Yeah.
And then you go back to just kind of hanging out for a little bit and getting to know your friends in the And I really like that kind of loop. I had fun with it from the start, but like, again, like I spent enough hours with it initially to be like, oh, cool. Now I'm going to the town and I'm going to buy some new clothes and I'm going to, you know, like I got into that sort of aspect of it.
This is one of the first times I've really enjoyed getting into the clothing aspect of things.
Same.
I found that really satisfying.
I bought one jacket that bugs out in cutscenes.
No.
So I kind of like that jacket because it makes me look like I'm a shapeshifter. It just like loses texture and stuff. There are some weird fucking bugs in this game. There are a few things that show up that they're not crazy, but like your horse will fly away or there will be like floating objects and that sort of like kind of the same as the first one where there's just some weird shit where the scale of it breaks it at some points. They're not a big deal.
Is a shame. Like riding around on a horse is really cool and really fun. It's a shame that the method of controlling a horse galloping in any game I've never found great.
Banging that fucking button.
Getting in a car and you just hold the trigger down and you accelerate, that feels fucking awesome.
Yes.
And that would be stupid as shit to do on a horse. But it just never feels... In any game, it just never feels that great.
Stuff like God of War when you controlled that boat by just pointing in the direction and it's not making you pretend to row. Like that kind of work because it's like the character is doing the rowing. I don't have to fucking pretend to row.
Yeah.
And even the accessibility option thing where you can turn off with sprinting on foot with smashing the button, you still got to do it with that horse for whatever reason.
Yeah. Mm.
So you can put it into cinematic mode and have it ride down the roads to a waypoint that you've set.
Yeah.
By just holding the button. But yeah, it nothing.
And that is cool.
Yeah.
It is really, it's a good idea.
But it sets the speed at not particularly fast.
You're not galloping, you're doing the canter or whatever's just below that.
Yeah.
So you can't just get into max speed and then just hold a button to make it go on a path, which is what I found a little annoying.
At no point in this game are you the boss of it.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like you are at the whims of the Wild West.
Well, that's the Assassin's Creed Odyssey. You could set a waypoint, make your horse ride on the road and go, okay, get me to that place. And it could be on the other side of the island and it'd take fucking ages and you just sit there and you kind of wouldn't pay attention.
And when you're moving around, you're zipping up over all the buildings, you're climbing around.
Yep.
Like a lot of people describe those games as superhero games.
Yeah, totally. And it just wouldn't make sense aesthetically for Red Dead to be able to do that. You benefit
from just
being...
His name's not Red Dead, but anyway. His name's not Red Dead.
What's his name?
Reddington Deadson.
I call him
Red Dead.
It benefits you to be like, all right, I'm going to fucking watch where I'm riding. I'm going to... Like really early on, I was riding down a hill and I was shooting at something and the horse like went over a big rock and he died.
Yeah.
I was like, shit, man, I guess I better watch who I'm riding.
I did that by bumping into the guy that I was riding alongside and I flew off and my horse just, it was over some train tracks. My horse just ate shit and it was like, you failed, your horse is dead.
Yeah.
I am pretty sure my horse decided to jump off some train tracks on the bridge because I don't think I made it do it. But every time my horse stacks, I laugh. Man, it is
the physics in this are really cool. The way this, everything about the way this game looks
it's
is amazing.
Incredible. Mm. It looks so good.
Every single little tiny detail of it and all the big scale.
Yeah.
Playing it on the Xbox One X, it runs so smoothly. I love everything about it from a visual point of view.
Yeah, someone described it, I think I saw a tweet or a review describing it as like Deadwood the game, which, I think that's applicable in a lot of ways, like thematically and the writing especially. But there's this weird thing I've got where like I'm walking down the main street of Valentine and it looks so real that I'm not like, oh, I'm in the Wild West. It's more like, oh, I'm in that TV show that had real buildings and real trees.
Right. Yeah, right.
It's just like my comparison for it is like something that was real and it just seems that real.
It looks incredible. It's designed so well. You can see these fucking million-hour work weeks that they forced them to put.
Yeah.
That's been something weird about playing it. Yeah. Is that it's made me a little weird about all that stuff because you could see the stress that people were under to make this game.
One of the big things that they were forced to put extra hours in for was they made the decision that the cutscenes would go into a letterbox mode. And they were like, well, you can't just put a black bar. That's not how it works.
The framing and everything.
So it's like reading that before the game came out, it's like, yeah, that's brutal. And then you're in the middle of it and it works so well. And it's like, back to work, boys. Tell your fucking kiddies you're not making soccer practice. Because, it's like, job well done. Absolutely worth it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Everything looks so expensive and time-consuming in this game.
The visuals, I don't think about it as much at the time because it's so immersive. Like, I've been down to the quote-unquote Louisiana bit and there's, like, swamps where the mud is knee-deep and the way that people fall in it and the way that it resettles and it's just looks real.
You can smell it. It's crazy. Everything about it, the audio is incredible in this game.
Yeah. But I was going to say, but that's not where I feel the work.
Right.
Where I feel the work is the writing because it is so good.
And it's extensive.
It's extensive. Yeah. The characterization of Arthur, there's bits where like something comes from his past and you decide whether to address it or not and help out. And it's like, you know, square to say yes and circle to say no. But the decision is not so much like I'm going to get 5 points in the good or I'm going to get 5 points in the bad. It's like, what would this guy do? Yeah. What would he actually do? Yeah. I understand, I think, his mindset. Like, it is such a good characterization.
It is. Arthur Morgan in particular is really good. But every character in there, like Dutch, who's the leader of the gang who you're doing, he's basically like a cult leader type figure. He's this one person who's getting all these people together. And you can see why.
Yes.
And that is hard to do.
Yeah.
It is hard to make someone appealing and awful at the same time. Every bit of the writing has been spot on so far. Even the little incidental things of little characters talking in saloons and all this stuff.
Yeah.
There's so much background shit going on and it's all just really like pitch perfect.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the film Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, a lot of singing. A lot of singing going on.
A lot was made in the kind of pre-release stuff about like, you know, oh, you can act however you want. You know, you can just live whatever life you want in this world. And so like one of the first missions I did, you have to like break up an argument that you see in the street and then you do that and then the guy ran off and then as he was running off, I shot him in the back of the head and immediately he's like, no, you failed the mission. And I was like, oh, well, turns out you can't do anything you want, can you?
That does happen.
I knew it.
Yeah.
A few times that happens, but sometimes it's really surprising how much it will interpret what you wanted to do with something.
Mm. Yeah,
like
yeah.
You will ride off on a horse and then bring it back to the person later who's like, oh, okay, you were just borrowing it. All right.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's a moment in a mission where you, and it is in a mission, so I don't know if it's sort of written in for with that in mind, but like you shoot some guys and then I had not been wearing a hat at that point and so I picked up one of the guy's hats and put it on and one of my mates was like, did you kill that guy just to pick up his hat?
Yeah, it, totally. It's shit like that where there's stuff that would break a lot of open world games, they've thought of it.
Mm,
and there's some line there for it or like I saw like a robbery, I guess, out in the bush, whatever the American equivalent of the bush is.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to help. I intervened and I beat the guy up, tied him up, put him on my horse, took him to the sheriff's office and they were like, oh, thanks. He's this fucking dude we've been looking for. That's awesome.
Yeah, right.
And I had no indication to go and do that.
Mm.
Just put it together.
Yeah.
And it panned down. It doesn't always happen, but it happens a lot more than with other open world games.
For sure. Mm. Yeah.
And it like just all those little things, you do feel like you want to play this role that you've invented for yourself of what the character is, or sort of what it's been suggested to you through his actions.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I do think undermines that a bit is the morality bar. I don't like that so much, where like getting the little thing of every time you loot a dead body, it's like, ooh, bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, I'm not in love with that.
Down. Yeah.
It just seems a little bit unnecessary and distracting, sort of. And those cores that you have, so you've got health, stamina, and dead eye, which is like your health, your stamina, and then your like slow motion aiming. And the way it works is you've got a meter for them, like normal, but then a core in the middle of it, which is
how quickly it replenishes.
So that drains through over time, or if you take damage or a bit of both,
if you overuse each one, I think
and you replace them by eating or by sleeping and that sort of stuff. And it is maybe an extra layer that is like a little okay.
I think the meter for how quickly your meter replenishes
is
I reckon there's maybe, in terms of like the little mechanic-y things and the way things will kind of work, I think there's maybe at a minimum like 10% too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
The cores don't – I mean, great songs, obviously, the cores. Really good.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie, or whatever they were.
Huey.
Because I feel like the world is so good. Like, the writing is so good. The world is so good. The music is so good. The missions that I've done, I've really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Everything else about it is so good that I don't really see what having meters upon meters is adding to that from a game sense.
I completely agree.
In the game, feet upon feet. But the different system,
not the metrics. Great.
But it
really great.
Yes, it's maybe a bit much, and I think it kind of stands out too because so much of the game is hidden, parts, or it's like you got to take this to the butcher, and it's all in world, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
But that thing of saying like, oh, it's making it more immersive. It's like, no, well, like having to fucking shave every couple of days isn't what – I mean, I actually don't mind that bit. But like the thing where you can like gain and put on weight and everything, it's like that doesn't make it immersive. What makes a game immersive is the writing and the characters and the world being believable and those other little systems that you guys were just talking about where the sheriff knew you were coming and people talking about the hat. Mm. Those are the things that make it immersive. Those things where you are still – guess what? Having to go into a menu and scroll through it so immediately you're remembering – oh, I'm in a video game.
Yeah.
I just find that stuff very at odds with, because at the end of the day, it's like, oh, these systems are all in place to make you forget that you are playing a video game.
Yeah.
You know, it's all very realistic. You put on weight, you have to shave, all this and that. But then, oh, I just died and now I've come back to life. Like, that's always going to be an undercurrent there that you just can't escape and have any answer for.
Mm.
So, my question is always, why worry about all that other stuff?
Mm.
Yeah, because all the stuff, the hair is a perfect example where it's like the system that doesn't really matter, but your hair grows.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can cut it, but it makes sense because you know how that works in real life.
Mm.
And the eating, like, cool, if you want to make it so that I have to eat, they haven't found exactly the way to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just not it's still just a meter, and because you're used to playing a game, it immediately just becomes like, oh, +3. A steak is +3.
Well, I think stuff like the hair ties into the clothes, where it is not an immersion thing, but it's allowing you to attach yourself to the character more.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. Like, the cores don't need to be in there at all. No. I think removing them does not lessen the immersion, and having them there does not increase it. It's just annoying.
And
I think
it's crazy that before we played this, and I didn't really have time to talk about it, but I will when it comes out on the consoles, I play some of Subnautica.
Oh, yes.
Which is like a survival game, and you can play that in two ways. One where you have to feed yourself and one where you don't.
Right.
And even a game where eating and surviving is a core mechanic realizes we need to take this out for some people.
Mm.
And I think this is kind of one of them where it's just that little bit grating.
Yeah.
It's something to think about. But again,
and stamina stuff I've never really loved in games. I liked it in Breath of the Wild because it was built into having to get up a lot of mountains and having to resource management to eat things to build your stamina. And once you realize that you get those what are they called? The things that are in the shrines that you can you can upgrade your stamina. So once you realize like, oh, there's a clear system, this game is, I find these and then I unlock that.
Mm.
That But even that, I still at times found the stamina wheel great.
I found it annoying.
I've never liked stamina. Yeah.
This has some of the GTA San Andreas stuff of just like, the more you do something, the better you are at it. Which is frustrating, but I guess it'll be satisfying maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's some of those things where it's so clear what it's doing that it's at odds with how natural everything else feels.
Yeah.
Which, but again, the game is like, it's so fucking confident is the right word and bold. Like it just is exactly what it is. And I think if you, you know, give yourself to dance a little bit, then you'll be able to fucking jibe with it. Turkey.
It's not a game, weirdly enough, for the reviews it's been getting and everything. It's really not a game that is made to be, you know, sat down with and processed in any way, I don't think. Like, I think you're just meant to have it and live in it. Like, you know what I mean? You're not, it really doesn't lend itself to having a week with it and having to, you know, sum up your thoughts very quickly and concisely in a way like this. And I'm looking forward to a week of social media of people saying to me, oh, I can't believe you hate it. I don't hate it. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm
just focusing on the things that are sticking out to me because I have to.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really enjoying it.
It's one of those cases for me at least where the things that annoy me, I'm like, you were almost there.
Right.
Weirdly, the difference between something being 97% good, that 3% is more annoying than something
for
that's
sure.
12%
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
You're like, well, how are they going to fill in the 88?
For sure.
It's impossible. But that 3% where you're like, I feel like I know what you could have done about
this.
If this one thing wasn't here, this would be the perfect game for me.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating that they didn't think of that.
Because that pace that I didn't like at first, I am now so into of just talking to people at camp for a while, having my morning coffee, having a look over the lake for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They go, all right, time to go sell this wagon I've stolen.
Like,
I feel like I'm making plans for my day and going out and doing it.
Totally. Like, you'll ride into town and you're like, all right, cool, I've got to buy a few of these things and then this mission is relatively nearby.
Mm.
But you're not like, you're not hammering the X button all the way there. Like, you get into town, you hit your horse, and I just like walk up the main street sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's
it weirdly encourages you to just fit into that role to like, more than an RPG where that now means you've got stats.
You
literally are playing the role of this character that you are for this game.
And they also program in stuff so well where maybe you do decide to just walk up the street one day, then a guy bloody leans out a window and he's like, hey, my pa's sick and he's got this farm out there and he's got some really valuable, and like, you just get this real naturalistic mission.
And it's weird that stuff feels natural, because that is the one point where you can tell the game is going like, I got something fun for you.
I sort of was ignoring side stuff because, like I said, I was trying to sort of get as deep into the guts of it as I could, and then I did one last night trying to hit the back wall of the game.
Time for foreplay.
My ultimate review of Red Dead Redemption 2, it could get it.
I was kind of ignoring them, and then I did one the other day, and it was just like a lady who was caught on her horse had, like, I think died and fallen on her, and her leg was trapped under, and just doing that, like, really satisfying.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's because the character is so well written that if you say yes, it'll be like, oh, okay, I guess I'll help you out with that. And you're like, that is how I felt.
Yeah.
That is exactly the attitude I was treating this fucking woman with. It's like, oh, you can't even ride a horse.
Yeah.
Get on. I'm the best cowboy.
Early days, like, being in the town and like I just shot someone and then I was wanted, and then it's like, well, you can't really go near here now.
Yeah.
The only way to get that status erased is to go and pay a bounty, which at first I was like, what the fuck? You mean you can't just run around and be a lawless cunt and do what you want all of the time?
You can if you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah. But in and around towns.
Yeah.
But then it was like, well, yeah, I guess that does make more sense than it's like GTA where you can kill like a dozen people, and then it's like, as long as you drive fast enough to get out of the red zone, the cops are just like, let's let bygones be bygones.
Fucking Vin Diesel gets away with it, I guess. Don't worry about it.
That is a little, that is the one thing I would say that is genuinely annoying to me.
The bounty stuff
is like, I did this really cool mission out in that other area that, like I mentioned before, with the mud, the swamps and stuff and the alligators. And then sort of like on the way back, I was checking in on a town, and then some guy
looked at me funny and I antagonized him and he shot at me and I shot that guy.
That's the thing. Shit can just go wrong sometimes.
Shit can go wrong. And it was my fault because I yelled at him.
Yeah.
I could have said, hey, mate, or I left him alone. Yeah. But I had a go.
I love antagonizing people.
Oh, it's great. But
I
then,
do
like,
drive by antagonizing as I'm writing. That's all I do. Because then the camera swings around.
Yeah.
That's all I do is just lock on people.
His insults
go, oh,
are pretty
you,
fun
cunt.
Too, where he's like, You walk like you ain't seen a goddamn walking in years. You don't know how to walk. They're better than that. I couldn't remember one, but they're fun. Like, all that writing is good,
It's
too.
Fun. It's fun to do, but then you get, I'm fucked. Yeah. I've got a huge bounty, and then I got shot, but then I'm still got a bounty. Like,
If you've not played it, the way it works is that if you get the equivalent of a wanted level, you get a certain amount of money that this region wants for your head, and you can go and pay that off at a post office, and it doesn't seem like there's a second way around it, and it
there's
feels
not.
Like it,
it just stays
be.
That way forever.
If you could sneak in somewhere and fucking threaten a sheriff or whatever, it'd be nice to have some other option, because most of the time I just pay the bounty because it's easiest, but
now,
it'd be nice to know you don't have to.
I've got a big bounty, because it's initially, like, in the moment you're like, okay, I got to get away. I got to shoot this guy. This cop's coming. Right. I got to keep running. And then it's like $320. I don't have that much money.
Yeah.
And I think it goes down over time, possibly, if you just stay away.
Right.
But it is.
Which again, it ties perfectly into the whole game's philosophy.
Right.
It's like, okay, I guess I got to wait a while.
Yeah. And then So I had a similar thing where I was coming into this town. There was a guy who was like, sir, I am lost. Can you help me? It was some guy from New York.
Yeah.
And because I was this cowboy, I hated New Yorkers. Mm. And I was being nice to him and I'd helped him into town. And he was like, well, I don't think much of this town. I was like, fuck you and your attitude. So I started antagonizing him. He was like, well, you don't have to be so rude about it. I was like, nah, fuck this guy. And I punched him. And then he ran away and got on a horse. And people were like, what the hell's happening here?
Yeah.
I chased after him. I captured him, and I thought, because he's stolen this guy's horse, if I bring him back into town, maybe they'll be like, ah, you got the horse thief, well done.
Mm.
But they were like, you got a man on the back of your horse. So I had this big bounty, had to go into the thing, and I ended up killing a bunch of people.
Mm.
The thing, if someone is lying on the ground and you stab them, is one of the most horrific animations I've ever seen.
Oof,
it is genuinely terrifying. He like climbs over their body and really goes for it.
I think South Park is a pretty horrific animation.
Terrence and Philip just flapping their heads.
But so
it's not realistic at all.
You get those situations where you're like, ah, oh, man, I shouldn't have. That baby should have gone, but you also like, yeah, I knew that would.
Fight. It is effective. Like when you're chasing down people for loans that they owe, and you have to beat them up, and it's like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah,
like it, but again, that just goes to show how much, you know, on at least a subconscious level, the immersion is working on me, because it's like, if I was detached from it, I wouldn't give a fuck. But I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to be a bad guy.
And it works because the character is like, I don't want to be no loan shark.
Yeah.
And he gets kind of convinced into it. He's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
I shot a horse just to see if you could. And it was kind of not in a town. It was sort of in the bush.
At the front of your apartment.
Melbourne Cup's coming up. I'm getting into the spirits.
Oof. I don't know. Like, you know, it's you do that sometimes in these kind of games.
Yeah.
Someone saw. I got in fucking trouble. Like, the law came after me. It's like animal cruelty is a crime. And I was like, I feel bad for doing it now.
Back then, was it?
See you, though. You can run after them and like point a gun at them, go, you ain't seen nothing. And
sometimes
they'll be like, yes, sir.
Chasing down witnesses, that is cool. That you get, before you get a wanted level, you can, if someone sees you, you can pursue them. And
Which
cool.
In the first one happened, and your only option really was to hunt them down and kill them.
Right.
So it's like, all right, I killed the other witness. I've killed two people now.
Yeah.
But yeah, now you can talk to them.
Yeah. And when that shit works, it's like, fuck yes, this is so well made. And it's that 10% where the idea you had doesn't pan out because the game won't allow it, that you go, ah.
Yeah.
But it's only because the rest of it is there and it's allowing you to be so kind of creative with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And just think of, I want to point my gun at this guy to threaten him. The game would be like, yep, we knew you would.
We
figured it out. And there were three other things you could have done.
Mm.
I think the music is really great.
Fight's good.
In a way that I wasn't expecting. Like, there's been a couple of tracks so far that are a bit more kind of modern kind of tinged.
There's a lot of electric guitar
expected.
In there.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking the first time that came in, like, I don't know why this sounds Western, because they did not have electric guitars.
Yeah, well, there's a really good movie, I like it, called Dead Man by Jim Jarmusch. Johnny Depp, when he was still good, is in it. And it's scored entirely by Neil Young playing an electric guitar.
Right.
And it just works perfectly. Yeah, it's the same tone. I feel like they've picked up a lot of stuff from contemporary Western genre stuff.
Yeah.
There's a thing that I read that I still don't think has been confirmed, but there is speculation. Do you guys know the singer D'Angelo? The R&B singer who's only done like 3 albums. His last one was like 4 or 5 years ago. So he's pretty, you know, he's known, and him doing anything new is like a big, like his, I think his last album that was a few years ago was, he hadn't put out an album for like 15 years. So like him doing that was like, oh, he's back. Like it's a big deal. He's very popular. So there's speculation that he has done a song for this that I think is in chapter 5 or something. So I'm obviously not up to that bit yet, but there's a lot of people going, this fucking, and he's got such a distinct voice that they're singing in it, in the song that's in the game, and people are going, this has to be him.
Right.
If it's not him, it's the most incredible sound alike, but it's pretty hard to sound like him.
Right.
And he sort of hasn't said anything. Rockstar haven't. So the fact that everyone's kind of being tight-lipped on it and not just going, no, is leading people to be like, did this motherfucker sneak a new song into this video game?
Right.
Which is cool as hell.
Yeah.
Like, there were those moments in the first game where you get a song with lyrics and stuff like that. It's not really repeating the tricks of the first game as well, at least in a narrative way in the first fifth that I've played or whatever.
That's what I wanted to ask you guys is how much does this feel like the first one to you?
I love the manner in which it's approached a prequel story.
Right. Yeah.
Because in the first game, you play as John Marston, who is going down and hunting members of this gang that you're in and getting them for the government. So you know who's alive still at the end of this game if you've played the first one.
Ah, yeah, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And I thought that that would remove stakes from it to some extent. But the way that, because this is well known, that John Marston is like one of the members of the gang in this game and he's walking around, you can kind of talk to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's just a side character. And I am really loving having this person who you played at as in the first one be kind of not someone who you would think would come down and hunt your gang.
Totally. And his character development is so subtly done as well.
Yeah.
And realistically in a dumb way. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I can see who he is now and who he is then. It's the same guy, but he's different.
And he's gone through some shit.
Yes.
And yeah, it weirdly, I am loving their choices with how they've done the story for this game.
The antagonist in Red Dead 1 is such a strong and striking character in that. It's almost a caricature.
Yeah.
And in Red Dead 2, you can, again, see where he goes and how he gets there and who he is now. It makes perfect sense, but it's kind of a different guy as well.
And you can see those cracks starting to happen, though, of like how these people got to these extreme points they're in the first game.
The dynamic, it's such a well-set-out dynamic in terms of the gang that you're like, fuck yeah, of course that would have happened because he's, you know, in this position now. And
you don't need to have played the first one. This is just like sugar on the top if you played the first one.
That's what I was about to say. It says a lot about it that it's like it took me a little while of playing it to go, oh yeah, is this a prick? Like not really knowing where it, until you said it then, I didn't know how directly it related to the first one or the characters in the first one. I thought it might have been GTA style where it's just like,
right,
completely, you know, separate.
No, it's completely tied together. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it is. And in a really believable way, but also this is a completely independent story.
Yeah.
And it's doing a lot of the stuff at the start of this where it's like Reservoir Dogs style, like, how did shit go so wrong back there?
Yeah,
and
then
dropping in words where it's like, the boat.
Yeah.
Oh, explain what the boat is.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah,
nah, the secret boat back there that we're going to definitely flash back to at some point.
Yeah.
And it does feel like it's leading on from, but these people all already know each other. You don't get these like kind of artificial introductions to each of the gang members. They have existing relationships and it just throws you in.
It does drop you really in at a really cool point of everything.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's well done.
I remember being really skeptical about the character of Arthur Morgan from the trailers and thinking like, I don't think I like this guy. I don't think I want to be him. And man, it's just like, it's like going, like, I don't want to be that real person. Like,
yeah, right.
You just are them and you live their life and you make the choices you think they'd make and it doesn't matter if you like him as a person or not.
It's totally. Yeah. He's such a good, well-made character because he is bland enough for you to imprint yourself on.
Yes.
But then also you can point out things about him where it's like he's a
bit of a dick. He's a real follower of this guy. He's kind of lost soul.
Jaded now. Yeah.
He drinks a bit much maybe. Mm-hmm. And you can list all these characters. But at the same time, he's open enough for you to go, but I'm him.
Yes.
He's a really well-written character. Yeah. All of them are. The writing in it is, I said it before, but the best rock star's done by a mile.
Yeah, Dutch is awesome.
It's all written in Dutch, by the way. if you don't know Dutch, then you will not enjoy this game.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just saying, shout out to the language.
Yeah. What up, Holland?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, thank God.
Speaking of the writing and drinking a bit much, I think we've all you did play it, Tommy.
Yeah.
The set piece with Lenny.
It's quite early on. Too,
yeah, so it is too. Yeah.
This isn't really a spoiler. I think it's more like just an indicative thing of what some of this.
Well, I don't think we're going to say specifically what happens.
Lenny from The Simpsons is in,
and boy, he sings a song that's brand new. there's a funny section that involves drinking that is, I think, genuinely funny.
Yes.
I laughed. I smiled at it. It is cut in a way. It reminded me of something like It's Always Sunny or like something where it's like goes over the top in its angles and cuts and music and stuff.
It's fucking with like the interface of the game and stuff that, which is the but it's not so in your face is a lot of the GTA writing where it's like, life hacker. Get it?
I thought it was cool. I didn't find it genuinely funny. It was a little bit, for me, getting into that territory of Rockstar being very Rockstar where it's like, imagine being drunk.
Right.
You know, where they've always got a bit in their games where it's like, now your character's on drugs and the controls are all fucked up. Yeah. Like, I found it just obviously because it's of the time period, it's not able to go so far in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But it did smack a little bit of that to me of like, these guys just can't help themselves.
Right.
I think I liked it because I was like, yeah, those characters would do that.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me,
you just agreed so hard with me that your headphones came off.
That's the highest compliment I can give.
I think for me, because I have
piss head.
Yeah, absolute alcoholic. Because I'd been spending heaps of time in side missions and wandering around and hunting and hanging out that this was a genuine palate cleanser or like a mood break or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I knew the character, but I was ready for some lightheartedness.
Yeah.
And it feels like there are bits of dialogue when you're riding from place to place or whatever that are just fun little jibes that these people who know each other well are doing.
Mm.
And I do think at the point that this specific bit we're talking about comes along, it is a good time for it because you feel like you're getting into like, okay, it's an open world. Here's my camp. I'm going to be sent out to steal a stagecoach over here and then I'm going to have to go all the missions. That, you know, you feel like you're starting to get into the rhythm and then this thing happens that in the way it's presented is just completely different and isolated from everything else in the game that it kind of catches you off guard and sort of sends you back into the game then going like, fuck, okay, there are going to be there are going to be some switches up to potentially things to the formula, like as we go on.
Mm.
So I think the timing of it is really well done. Of where it comes in the game.
Yeah,
yeah. Once you have submitted to this game's pace, it's actually really well laid out.
Mm. Yeah,
it's just at such a scale that you've got to be ready for that.
Yeah,
to sink into it because it is not a short game.
Mm.
This game will last me for a long time.
Yeah.
The amount of, but it's not repetitive in the way that Assassin's Creed is long and at some point it's like, well, I've seen everything it's got to offer.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that 12 more times.
Yep. Even in the way that I mentioned before, Persona 5.
Having not finished it, well, but it's been so consistently inventive so far.
I think something like Persona 5 specifically and actually regiments your day and this, you sort of sink into it in a way where it is telling you what to do. It is prescribing, you know, what you need to do, but it doesn't feel that way after a certain point.
You're invested in maintaining that stuff.
Mm.
But that's, I think, the thing that Rockstar have always done so well is like it's an open world game. Yeah, you are just doing the same stuff again and again and again. It's like go here, get this, take it here, sometimes go here, shoot these people.
Yeah.
There really isn't, if you really wanted to strip all the, you know, all the dressing back, it really is just the same things.
Mm.
But their skill is making it feel different and interesting and unique every time, and being excited like, cool, I get to drive somewhere else. Like you're just being excited to do that. Like the missions that I like most in these kinds of games are the ones where you just cruising around. Anytime there's you know, shooting, I'm always like, fine, I guess. Like, cool to have a bit of a set piecey thing, but the missions I like are like, pick this person up, take them over here, then get that, and then take that over there, because you get to see the world. And
It's for good reasons in the story that you're doing this stuff.
Yes.
And, and that this definitely has that.
Well, I think the first Red Dead game did this really well, and I think that this is going to do it better, is like the moments where you're riding towards something and you know it's going to be intense shit in a story way, in a character way.
Yeah.
That is... that's the most sort of intense stuff.
Yeah.
Is when you know something's going to go down and you have to go do it.
Yeah.
I think this, will build to that.
Because you're right, it is ultimately go to this icon on the map.
Yeah.
Like most of what you're doing is still, it's a video game.
Yeah.
Still, but it's the dressing is bloody and good salad.
I need to fuck around a bit more with turning off the map and all that shit, because finding a little bit like I'm just kind of, I'm looking at the line in the on the map in the bottom left corner of the screen more than I'm taking in the environment. That is kind of starting to piss me off a little bit, because it's like, well,
you got to switch to compass mode, because compass mode, it has the direction.
Oh, it tells you. Oh, really? Right. I didn't know you could do that
for missions and waypoints. It's like, no, like go northeast. Like it always has a little thing.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
But it doesn't have the GPS.
Yeah. It's, okay. That's great.
Yeah.
You just hold down and it brings up the menu. Like again, the controls are so complicated. Yeah. There's so much shit going on, and I'm relearning it all the time. Like. It is an overwhelming game in a lot of ways, unless you go, it's not overwhelming because I'm doing little tiny patches of it forever.
Yes.
Not forever. They've baked the world's biggest pizza pie. And I'm going to eat it one pineapple slice at a time.
Fuck.
Because pineapple on pizza, absolutely fine. And I don't get people being so fucked up about it.
Yeah, have it or don't. Don't bitch about it.
Do have it. Always have it on every pizza.
Well, okay.
And every meal.
This is an issue.
Are you going to eat a bar of chocolate? Pineapple up your butt.
Okay, well, you're talking about Hawaiian pizza, so I'm guessing that that means that we're at the end of this discussion on Red Dead.
I think for now,
I think I want
to. Is that a signal that we've run out of stuff to say about the game?
One more time, I want to just say again how fucking good it looks and sounds, and all the every production element, other than some of the bugs, is just the peak of what video games have been capable of at this point.
Yes. I honestly don't see how a game can ever look better than this.
That's going to sound stupid in 5 years, because I'm going to take it out of here and pitch your voice up.
Put some fire sounds like underneath it.
Hell yeah.
But like it, things will...
From looking like a photo, I don't see where.
I think the character...
Character models is the final frontier.
But
it was water for a long time. Yeah. But yeah.
You're right. The animations are fantastic. Yeah. Like they are realistic. It is the...
The water looks a bit weird when you're in it. Sometimes it like really looks like video game stuff moving.
But then, yeah, like that mud is just, it looks perfect. The street when it's been raining and it's
the way the light hits the mud.
Yeah.
Going on a swamp. When the light hits the mud, going in a swamp and then coming out and there's a line of dirt right exactly where your clothes went up to. It's just fucking, it's so detailed. And again, there is suggestion that it's because people have worked their fucks off over this.
Yeah.
Like, I have been thinking about that stuff often when I just stop and look at a tree and it's wiggling a little bit, or blowing in the weak breeze is a better way to describe it. But you know, you go, woof, people have dedicated some shit to this.
Yeah.
And someone asked us on Twitter to talk about that more, and I don't really have anything to say.
Yeah, someone sort of said they were hoping for a more earnest discussion of that topic, and I was being earnest in like, you know, I've worked difficult and time-consuming jobs where I was satisfied with the end result because I worked so hard.
Yeah.
And like...
Felt like we went into it enough.
I think we just didn't say, it's really bad to make employees do that.
I think we said that.
Well,
I definitely think that, but at the same time, like if you want to work hard on something and it needs to be up to you.
If
you are cajoling someone into doing it through any means, whether it's implied or not, then that sucks.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we've talked a lot about how that's just kind of what our culture is now, and we're not. That doesn't mean we're condoning it or whatever.
I think we very specifically said that it's like it's an institutional issue that is bad.
Yes.
But also we can see the benefits in a creative field to dedicating all of your time to something.
Because what do you do when this comes, when something like this comes out, and it's like, yeah, people, you just, yeah,
there is a certain,
the things that we like about it wouldn't exist without people absolutely fucking busting their asses to like,
which
just having people work normal, reasonable hours in a week, this game would just never come out.
But that isn't to say force them to do it, to do that. There's a certain type of person, and I think we're all included
that wants
in it
to.
With some things where in a creative thing I believe in, I will kill myself working on it.
Yes.
Which is why I've only spent an hour a week on this podcast. But there's an obsession that you get about it that it becomes the most important thing in your life.
Absolutely. And you purposefully sacrifice other aspects of your life to pursue that thing.
Well, if you're a stand-up, you in some even small capacity are thinking about it all the time.
Yeah.
In some way.
That could be a bit, actually. But the
very, very good.
The problem is if you ever make someone else step over a line they don't want to step over in regards to this stuff.
Spend 100 hours a week writing my comedy for me.
Yeah. And then but then the thing is we don't know.
I'd love to put you to work for me, by the way.
All right. Let's suck on that dick.
let's talk turkey. We'll do it. I want to be paid only in minced turkey.
Yeah, fair.
I'm impossible to know the specific situations here as well because there's been different accounts from different people.
Yeah.
And different people who are in the same situation will respond differently to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just hard to
to
properly talk about it because I'm not a fucking labor law lawyer.
Yes. Yeah.
Labor lawyer?
Sure.
Labia, that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is going to be, we've mentioned it twice, but Breath of the Wild style, where it's so big that I think we will be coming back to it for quite some time. Yeah.
I would love to have this done by the time we do Game of the Year stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe the story,
couple
I guess.
Months.
Yeah.
Maybe the story.
Because we'll be doing a Game of the Year live show, right?
Yeah, I want to do that.
Or an awards show.
I think we're doing something. We're going to do something at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
This
I'll work out when I can do that anyway. Yeah.
This is a really overwhelming game, and it's massive in so many ways.
It's weird having now played it for a bit. I guess we'll close off on this. It's weird, and then seeing reviews of it where it's just like, yes, here is my score for it. It's like, fuck off, you've cut. Like, how far in advance did you get this game?
They had it for a couple weeks.
A couple weeks?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you could fuck yourself up for 100-hour a week, which ironically is what a lot of the reviewers for this would have had to do.
Definitely it's what they would have had to have done. But it's again, I don't think that's how you're meant to consume this game.
Yeah,
you're meant to live in this. It's meant to become, like I said, it's a part of your routine. Mm. Like, I don't, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I totally get it. Of course I get I think the glowing reviews are well-deserved from the technical standpoint and
it's
the storytelling
an
and all the.
It is.
Yeah. I think that's the best way of summing it up.
It definitely, I think, holds you at arm's length more than Breath of the Wild did as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which means I agree.
And
I don't understand.
That was doing that as
well. Yeah, yeah.
This is definitely like Breath of the Wild was trying to make you have fun, and this is going like, this will be fun if you agree to my terms.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just holding you at gunpoint, accidentally shooting you, reloading. <Yeah. laughs>
There's fun in here somewhere. I'm just not going to tell you when or where that is.
Yes.
Yeah. But and also this game has made me laugh so much. When I've just been fucking around and like jumping off of shit with my horses, oh my God.
Yeah.
There's something about seeing a horse crumple in this game that is just like the most fucked up thing.
This, I think, this is just a me thing. Like, I know this is stupid, but this is, I have the subtitles off.
Yeah.
The volume up. I'm not distracted. You mentioned this to me, Tommy, that you were putting your phone in another room to play games lately.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been doing that as well.
Also, there's an app that you can get that you can have your map and everything on, and a few people in our group were like, oh, that seems cool. And I'm like, yeah, I would look down at it and then a notification would pop up and I wouldn't be able to help myself.
Well, ahead of time, I thought that would be really cool, but because that compass mode is all I need for directions and everything else is dynamic to the point where, like, in the way that it should be.
Yeah.
So you get your health meters and stuff on there in the compass mode?
Yeah, when it's being affected. So if you're on a horse right. and you're busting its gut and the stamina's going down, you see the stamina going down.
Right.
But if you're just walking along, you don't see those dials.
Cool. I think that's the same as the small map, which I have on.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess the map just turns down.
But that is a funny contradiction of like, here's something that's going to help you be more immersed in this cowboy world. Looking down at your telephone.
Yeah. I don't think that's necessary now. I think that the menu and the HUD is
I haven't seen anyone
done.
Talk about using it.
Yeah, yeah. It's all designed well enough.
So much more to talk about with this game as well. And I have just approached a point where I'm becoming a little obsessive with it that I will be playing it heaps more. So we'll probably end up talking about it more.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Definitely. Let's put a pin in it for now. Filthycasuals.com.au for our premium Bandcamp episodes, links to our Patreon, links to our socials. Get on Facebook or send us an email with your personal thoughts, your personal highlights, stuff like that. Keen to hear what the filth are making of it.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
happy trails, partner. I did a little cowboy hat tip.
Very immersive.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.